Beach Fishing Review. I'm John Holden, and in this program, I'm talking to Terry Carroll, who's boss of the Ziplex Rod Company. I went to see Terry to get the information for a magazine article on casting rods. There never was any intention to record anything, but I took a few notes on a little dictation machine. The sound quality isn't very good, and I do apologise for that. But I think you'll agree that what Terry has to say is so interesting that any problems in the technical area can be forgiven. I began by asking Terry for some ideas on rod stiffness, a key issue that affects beach fishermen these days. The vast majority of casting rods are far too stiff for people to bend properly. And if you can't bend a rod, you can't cast it. It's as simple as that, really.
You see no reference at all to a scientific explanation of the overall power of the rod. All you see is that it will cast 300 yards. I mean, I see a stupid advert today somewhere, was it yesterday? Capable of 400 yards. Now, a step into the future. You know, what are they talking about? So how do you describe that rod? What is, so okay, it will cast 400 yards, so we've got a guy that weighs 80 stone or whatever he is, and he turns up and he's going to cast with this thing. I mean, it's meaningless, isn't it? You know, if they said this is a category 4 surf rod, and everybody knew what that meant, half the population would say, phew, this is far too much for me, or the other half would say, oh God, I've been waiting for one of those. These guys who are going in paying £400 a piece for these things, they have no idea. What is this rod? Does it bend? Can I fish with it? Their mates say to them, oh yeah, you want one of them. That's really the business. So they buy it and they phone me up and say, I've just bought this bullet. I can't even bend it. I can't cast more than 20 yards with it. And you say, well, why did you buy it? Well, because they told me to. No good trying to solve it by downgrading, dumbing down, as he keeps saying. You've got to go the other way around. You've got to take the usable equipment and highlight it. It's got to be, this is what you want. Look, this guy has cast 280 yards with a fishing rod. Mm. That's what we need. You don't need this guy's cast 280 yards with this Ziplex whatever rod. Fine, good for my publicity. When people go out and buy those rods, I get days of phone calls. Oh dear, what on earth, why can I can't use it? You know, I paid £400 for this. Trouble is, the dealer will pile them up like shotgun cartridges if you could. And next one, please, out the door. Quite often there will be advertising or a review of a rod that they have heard about. You know, my mate's got one of them. Oh, well, there it is again. This is, go and buy one of these. You know, you will cast 300 yards. So don't know what you told the guy. Out he goes, like a zombie. The rod has got to be designed to do the job that will cast with a certain type of style, i.e. the old styles, which they will. You can cast with very soft rods an awful long way. And you start achieving results in the tournaments with this sort of rod, not just in the UK, but in all the little tournaments as well. You start achieving the results, and you have the added edge on that rod in its description that this, yes, this is the rod that won that last tournament. When you buy one, you don't only get a tournament rod, but you get a fishing rod as well. Yeah, and then the guy can come in and say, I want one of them. And the guy says, you don't want one of them, they're far too soft. Go on, it's a waste of time. No, look, this guy, Fred Bloggs, he's just won a tournament with it. And it says here that it's a fishing rod as well. I want to have a look at one. So he's either going to say, no, I'm not going to let you have a look at one, or get one so you can have a look at it. So he bends it and says, oh yeah, that's a fishing rod, that's nice and soft. Can't dispute the fact that it will cast 250 yards on the field. That's the way you're going to do it. And then it goes the other way. The equilibrium is broken in favour of the dual purpose rod. My rod's better than yours. It's cost me 300 quid, but I can go on the tournament field with it and I can fish with it. Once you have the superiority of the product shown to have more advantages than just a distance rod or a fishing rod, once this Mr. Average can turn around and say, Yeah, I know, you know, you're right to cast 250 yards, 260 yards to see the edge, but so is mine. But look at mine, mine bends, I can fish with it. And this guy wins matches with them, and you know, I can fish for bass with them, or I can fish for mackerel with it. And then if I want to, I'll go on tournament field with it, like they used to. I think you've got to get people using this sort of rod. You need achievement. The thing's got to be, this type of rod has got to be an achiever. It's no good this thing wallowing around in the background when, you know, these great big stiff rods are still being used by all the casters. You've got to give them something that shines, you know. It's got to be like the Quattro was. I mean, there was a fishing rod that broke the world record, that 50 or 60 people used to use at a time on the tournaments. I mean, they were everywhere. Because you could then throw it in your car, go bait digging, and use it on the beach. Mm. To some extent, the standard Quattro at Dungeness Point or Cheslin, some places like that, was actually slightly soft. It was rather ironic that in those days, the tournament rods were somewhat less powerful in some cases than some of the fishing rods. Now, the majority of people are using this equipment because they have never known anything else. So when they go match fishing, they use a rod that we would not even have used for tournament casting 15 years ago. It would be too powerful. But they're quite happy to go down there and scratch around for whiting and dabs with it, because they think, well, what else is that? This is what you do. On the tournament field, people don't know that people like Danny Moscott weigh 26 stone and can pick up 600 pounds. He can pick up back of a car up. I mean, I've seen him do it. Mm. I mean, somebody's gone to drive off and just picks the back up so the back will spin. When you're dealing with people like that, he doesn't look muscular, but he's incredibly powerful. And one or two others are as well. I mean, there's three more that weigh 18, 20 stone. You know, these people are using this equipment, they cast, and I mean, I get advantages out of it, I don't mind, and other companies do as well. But the four last ones that I've, wait a minute, one, two, three, four, even going back to the HST, five ones that I've actually produced, I've never had a write-up on. And the reason is that there's no point. You know, the rod is a tournament rod. It's a very specialised rod. I'm selling quite a lot of them. I you know, it would be nice, you know, to add the commercial value to it as a write-up, but who are you going to sell it to? The trouble is, what's going to happen is a lot of people will read the write-up. They would be convinced by the write-up. Mm. And because it is a good rod, and they would go and buy it, and they would be shattered by it because they wouldn't know what to do with it. You see, what you said in some ways to me is what more, if more people said that, well, I'm very sorry, but this rod is 14 foot long, it weighs this, it's this and this, it's got this rings on it, and the whippings are red, but that's all we can tell you about it, we can't find anybody who can use it. Now, if more people said that, that would start to categorise. That would be an automatic way of categorising a certain range of products. Mm. People writing and say, what do you mean? Well, what we mean is, this rod is obviously designed for casting big distances by big, big people, and we haven't got any. I mean, that's one way of doing it.
Choosing the wrong rod is bad enough. Most people compound the problem by choosing a casting style, such as the pendulum, that's really too much for them. It's too much for them because they haven't got the skill, and it's also unnecessary because the kind of fishing they do really doesn't lend itself to that kind of big swing. Terry and I both started our casting careers by casting off of the ground, and in my view, ground casting is still the number one way to go if you're learning. And for a lot of fishermen, it's probably the style to stick with for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, there's a really interesting point about off-the-ground casting. The guy was here yesterday, he left me a butt, he wants another rod. He started casting off the ground, and he said to me a couple of years ago, you know, how do you cast off the ground? Well, but that's not as easy as people, you know, you take it as granted, but I mean, most people, even doing the Primo Libanese centenary, the groundcast was the main event.
Mm.
And you'd be amazed at how many people hadn't a clue what they're supposed to be doing. They couldn't start the cast. They laid it out, but then they couldn't actually move.
Trigger.
No. So there's that side of it. There's not enough known about it. But this guy's just done, he's broken all three ground casting records in one weekend. He's casting in excess of 260 yards. One of the best casters we've got is Peter Thane. He's broken the world 18 ground record now as well. Now, he's a very thoughtful sort of cast. He's not just the average sort of, you know, big hit out. Peter said to me, I've given up pendulum casting, fishing. I just cast off the ground. And he had the same, immediately had the same sort of responses. Why do you cast off the ground? Because it goes further. He said, well, I can cast 100 yards further than that with my pendulum. But if I did it here, now, on these rocks, I'd probably kill myself. So you use the equipment and the style because that's where you are, what you're doing at the time. So you choose to do that. And he said, but the fact is that under the circumstances of fishing with wet hands and bait and darkness and rain and everything else, all the minuses of pendulum casting far, far outweigh its distance advantage, to the point where a good ground caster with the right equipment will just slaughter a pendulum caster. I mean, you know, he'll be 50 metres in front of him and he'll be fishing more of the time than he's there. If both anglers are there for 8 hours, the ground caster will be doing a lot more fishing. Simple as that. And as you say, you can pick and choose. With a ground cast, you can say the tide's, you know, flooding, it's running from right to left hard, just pop it slightly to the right, or vice versa, or dead ahead, or try it up here a bit, try it down there. Not many pendulum casters can do that. Not at will. And with a ground cast, it will go just as far as at night as during the day. You haven't got ground clearance to worry about, you haven't got, you know, obstructions on the backswing. You know, you just lay it on the ground and thump it. But there is a, you know, there is a slightly more technical approach than that, but that's basically what you do.
Well, so far so good. Now the difficulty as I see it is that with so much confusion around, we need to cut away all the dead wood and start afresh. I asked Terry how he thought we should go about it. How do we get back to the basics and start all over again so that we end up with fishing rods and casting styles and methods of fishing that all work with each other rather than are fighting each other all the time?
I really believe that you've got to bring back a bit of the history, back to the future, like I said earlier. Have you ever seen one of these sort of rods? Do you know how soft these rods are? Do you know they're cheaper than these modern rods? Which they are. I mean, these modern rods are costing so much money, and they're going to go up and up and up, because the cost of the amount of carbon that's going in them, especially the high modulus carbons, is becoming astronomically in price. Glass now is much better than it used to be. There are some very, very sophisticated glass fibres around, which we've used for some of this new stuff. You can make a beautiful product, which is a pleasure to use, totally reliable, lasts forever. All you need is the style. Put the two together and you've got fishability with distance. You know, that's the way I see it.
So that's it for now. I hope you've found a few ideas in there that might have some bearing on your own fishing. I think the main thing to realise, and I know we keep saying it over and over again, that if you want to make progress in casting, you need a rod that you can bend. Use it with a simple technique and you'll get all the distances that you want, and you'll find that you'll enjoy your fishing an awful lot more. So my thanks to Terry for his time, and thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me again in another episode of Beach Fishing Review. Meanwhile, you'll find more information about casting and fishing on my website, www.johnholden.co.uk.